very difficult challenge and charge to a Kohen, to a Kohen Gadol. But the others, they cannot do so. But here, what happened was, the korbanot had already been offered. This discussion, at the end of it, is, should they consume it? All of the activity had already been done. So there's no question that going forward, Elazar and Itamar were going to sit Shiva. There's no doubt about it. They were going to sit Shiva. If there was such a thing as sitting Shiva. Let's assume there was. They're sitting Shiva, right? Aaron would not sit Shiva. So for the next 7 days, Aaron had to do all of the Avodah every single day. What korbanot are they going to be? What korbanot? There's a daily sacrifice. Plus, what else? You know this. What?
The
Miluim. No, not the Miluim. Miluim are over. The Chanukah of Mizbeach. Every Nasi Echad Layom, Nasi Echad Layom. No, that's from Rosh Chodesh until the 12th of Nisan. Each tribe, each Nasi brought quite a number of korbanot, right? Each day of the 12 days of the opening of the Beit HaMikdash. It's not part of the Yimei Miluim. The Miluim took place on the last 7 days of the month of Adar, and it's the 8th day, Vayom HaShmini, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Nachshon Ben Aminadav brought his special korban. Now, the next day, you're going to have the korban of 11 Nasiyas. So Aaron is going to have to take care of all of that and eat all of those korban, because there are no other kohanim at that time. So he's got to take care of it himself. There are no other korban. He's got to eat a lot of meat. That's correct. Lots of meat. Yes.
But there would be no burial because they were consumed by fire.
Okay, that doesn't mean, first of all, that's a good question. Did they take their remains? Because nobody knows exactly what happened to them. There is some debate whether it was only their kishkis were burnt, but the body was there. You know, it's a good question. And even if there was no burial, what? Yeah, of course. Right, they were bodies. It says that Mishael the Elit Safan Ben Uziel, two cousins, went in, and they were the ones who complained that we are Tamei and we can't bring the Korban Pesach. They can't bring the Korban Pesach because they were the Mekamei themselves. But the question is, but even if without a body, you still said Shiva. Even there's no burial, Shiva's not going to do
it. The state of being not able to eat.
Is until the burial.
Right. So
but this
no burial.
Okay, but it means, okay, but here there was a burial. They did something with their remains. There's no doubt. It's fine. So this means lo achalti menaboni. That's Rashi. Not everybody agrees with Rashi. And the Rashbam, it claims that the word oni has nothing to do with the root of aninut, but he takes a pasuk, he doesn't quote that pasuk, I'm surprised he doesn't, but there is a pasuk in Parshat Vayechi describing Reuven, which says, and I'm quite surprised he quotes the pasuk in Eiv and Hoshea when he had a pasuk right there in Vayechi, in the Chodesh. Kochi v'reishit oni. Kochi v'reishit oni. Maza reishit oni. My strength. Yaakov is describing Reuven as being the first of my strength. He is my first child.
That's what an ayin.
That's what an ayin. That's what an ayin. Yes. That's like the guy who told his Rebbe was giving a Dvar Torah, and he said, I know that there is a remez to Chanukah in the Torah. It says, Baha'alotcha et ha-neirot. And Baha'alotcha ends with a chet at the end of it. So the kid asked him, this Rebbe, it's with a chav. He says, you're learning diktuk? Diktuk you're learning? That's for, matkilim. Here it's with an out. So the word oni means my strength. So how does Rashbam use that in terms of strength? He turns it lo achalti mimenu lo ha'oni mimenu. What does it mean? What does it mean? Says the Rashbam, mamon shegozal. What does that mean? No, so here, he's talking about Maser, Bikurim, Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni. What is the person doing? What is the person claiming? That what? What is it? When he's saying Zidu, lo yachalti menu boni, what does it mean?
It's really mine.
What? Correct. I did not engage in any thievery. I didn't use my clout, my force, to gain access to the field, to the produce. Everything was done legit. Everything was done legit. In which case, you can claim that the vidui is not only on two things which are endowed with kedusha. See, according to Rashi, lo achalti min ha'beoni, you have to select amongst the entire list of vidui ma'asrot. There are a lot of things that are contained. Some are endowed, as I said 5 minutes ago, are endowed with kedusha. Some are not endowed with kedusha. An onein is a lot of ma'asrisha. And Onain is allowed to eat Maser Oni. So when you say, L'chalti men of Oni, it can't refer to the entire list above. According to the Rashbam, this part of the declaration can refer to the entire list. Because my contributions of Maser Rishon, my contributions of Maser Oni, were done with what? With money, with land and agriculture that belonged to me. I didn't steal it from anybody. So that's a second interpretation. Velo bi'arti mimenu bitame. And I did not use this in a state of tuma. And Rashi will point out that there are two possible ways to violate this. Either that the person is tame, and a person is tame is not permitted to eat things that are kodesh, not all things, kodesh. So once again, you're not permitted to eat masasheni bituma. Or, what is another possible way of associating Tumah if you are Tahar? What is another possible way of violating? Where the item became Tumah. The fruit itself became Tumah. So you're not permitted to consume Maser Sheni that became Tumah. A Kohen is not permitted to consume Truma that became Tumah. He has to burn it. But he's not permitted to consume it. So, in all of these cases, lo bi'arti mimenu bitame. I did not consume it. It was not consumed in any way associated with forms of tumah. Either I was tameh and the product was tahar, so I violated the prohibition upon me. Or I was tahar, but the product was tameh, in which case I am not permitted to eat that. So I did not do so. So I am declaring that I am perfectly innocent in this regard. And here there is no dispute. That's the way everybody interprets this particular phrase. Here comes the most troublesome phrase of the bunch. Velo nasati mimenu lemeis. Velo nasati mimenu lemeis. I didn't give any of this to the dead. Okay? And I didn't give any of this to the dead. So what exactly do you think it means I didn't give any of it to the dead? So let's take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. And then you will take a look at the Ramban, who will quote Rashi, quote the Rambam, and then the Ramban will suggest a third perspective. Take a look at Rashi first. Rashi is a new Dalit. I'm continuing with Rashi. Lo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei, pasuk yudalit. This is what I just told you. Bein she'ani tamei v'hu tahar. Bein she'ani tahar v'hu tamei. It goes for both cases. Whether I am tahar and the product is tamei, or I am tamei and the product is tahar. Then it just quotes pasuk psukim to identify that both of these are prohibited. Go to the next Rashi, Volonatati Menulames. So Rashi chooses to quote the Midrash. La Asot Lo Aron Vitachrichin. I didn't use any of the Ma'asrot to what? To make it an Aron or shroud, a tachrichin for the mace. Okay, it's a little hard to imagine how you use fruits to be an oral. So obviously it doesn't mean that. What do you think it meant?
No.
To exchange it. Correct. To exchange it and then to use the money for providing the needs for the deceased, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah. So maybe have one mitzvah and use it to another. So that's what Rashi says, and many follow in his way. So let's take a look at the Ramban. And it's on the second page. And I didn't quote the first half of the Ramban, because all he did was repeat Rashi. Now, Rashi, the Ramban, do you have the second page where it says Ramban? The top where it says, V'lo havinosi zeh. I didn't understand that. That's a mild, that's not a sharp objection. We'll see when he gets to quote the Ramban. Shaharei mefurash bekatuv. It is black and white in the text. Shema'aser sheni ein michalalin oto chutz Yerushalayim ela al kesef tzura. It is written black on white in the text, in Parshat Re'eh, and I'm going to have you look at it in a second, where the Torah tells us what happens if you are a very, very successful farmer, and you have 50,000 pounds of oranges. You're going to need a lot of donkeys to schlep them from Petach Tikva, right, to Yerushalayim. So what are you supposed to do? You're allowed to redeem it. You sell it. Then you take the money and you do whatever you're supposed to do. Then we'll see what you're supposed to do in Yerushalayim. You're supposed to buy food in Yerushalayim with that money. But the Torah writes, it's in Parshat Re'eh, we saw it already. Please open it up for a second so to see it. Torah writes, it is Perek Yudalit Pasuk Chavav. Pasuk Chafei. Can we start with Chaf Dalad? V'chi Yirbeh Mimcha HaDerech. Chapter 14, verse 24. If the road will be very far, Ki Lo Su'chal Se'eto. You won't be able to carry it. Ki Yirchak Mimcha HaMakom. Ashi Yivchar Hashem Alekecha Lasum Shimo Sham. Ki Yivarech Hashem Alekecha. V'nasata Baketef. Vitzarta hakesef biyadcha. You can only exchange it for what? For money. And based on the word vitzarta, Rak, the Ramban quotes the halacha, that you're only allowed to be potent on kesef shiyeshlo tsura. Because kesef technically does not mean money. What does kesef mean? Mean silver. You can't just exchange it for silver. Matzit tsura, what is it that tsura is? A form. So what?
It has a value.
It's coin. It's recognized as currency. So there's a stamp on it. The stamp of the king, the stamp of the government, to recognize it as legitimate currency. So therefore, in fact, Rabbi Schechter always says, this guarantees that all of the Neturei Karta have to acknowledge the validity of Medinat Yisrael. Because otherwise, they cannot be paid the Matzah Sheni. If they take a shekel, so we know that some of them don't, they do it on American dollars, because they don't want to use a shekel, because that would be granting halachic legitimacy to the shekel. Because if you use the coin, it's kept of Shiyesh Olav Tzura. So the Ramban says, now going back to the Ramban, and then what are you supposed to do with that money? Well, line two. Ubirushalayim yitain hakesef al davar haru'i la'achila babakar ubatzon ubayayin ubasheichar v'yochal lefnei Hashem. So there is only one thing that you can do. You're only allowed to exchange peros of matzah sheni for what? For coins. And what are you allowed to do? Did you have to use that for food? Preferably bakar and tzon, to bring them as korbanot, korban shlamim, and then you eat the rest of it. And if not, you buy fruit, food in Yerushalayim.
one's extinct in truth, but
why? Because you can't schlep it. No, because you have to schlep all fruit. Now you take the money to Yerushalayim, and then you go in, exactly, then you'll go into Norman's, and you'll have yourself a steak, right there. Even though no one goes in anymore, right? Everybody goes across the street to Joy, right? What? Burger bar also across the street, right? So the Ramban says, you mean to tell me this guy is going to make a declaration? Lo achalti, lo nasati, memenu lemeis. It seems to create the impression that there is something about the meis that you're saying, I didn't do it for the mace. So for Ramban, mace is not unusual. You're not allowed to use Matzah Sheni for anything, except what? Except food. So why would there be such an emphasis, V'lo nasati mimenu l'mace? And you mean to tell me, l'chai is okay? Right? If you wanted to go and if the Yankees will play one day in Yerushalayim Ner HaKadosh, right? In Teddy Stadium. So they're going to have a game. Are you allowed to use money of Matzah Sheni to buy yourself box seats for a Yankee game? No.
According to what you eat when you're in the
city. It's only when you eat. So what's the Chidush, says the Ramban, if it's Lo Nasati Mimenu Lemeis? What's the big Chidush? Therefore, Lo Havino Seeds Ivrei Rashi. I don't quite understand Rashi's point. The Harav Rabbeinu Moshe Kasa Bichiburo, and the Rambam Rabbeinu Moshe writes, Ma'aser Sheni Nitein La'achila Ushtia Shene'emar V'achalta Shom Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Ma'aser Sheni is to be eaten, as we've said. It says in the Pasuk, V'achalta Shom Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Ah. V'sicha Kishtiya. The Ramban quotes a halacha here, found in Maseches Yuma and in other places. Sicha, what's a sicha? Anointing. Anointing using an oil, particularly if you have zeitin, right? Shemen zayit. You don't drink shemen zayit. So what could you possibly use shemen zayit for? For anointing on your skin. On your skin. And sicha is considered kishtiya. The asur lahutzio bishar tzrachav. And you're not permitted to use the money of Matzah Sheni for your other personal needs. Go. Sheyikachbo kelim ubigadim v'avadim v'shene'emah. How do I know, says the Rambam, that you're not allowed to use monies of Matzah Sheni for anything except what? Food. How do I know? Because it says, V'lo nasati mimenu lemeis. Kilomar. What does that mean? Lo hotseisi osar bidavar she'eino mikayem et haguf. Why does it say, V'lo nasati mimenu lemeis? It's like a play. It's a cute little tool to say, what does food do? Food sustains you. Exactly. So other things don't really sustain you. So how do you demonstrate in a broad sweeping statement that I did nothing but do something for what? To sustain me? How do you use a broad sweeping statement? Monasaki lemeno mates. I didn't use it for the dead. Okay. Asah milat lemate. So what did the Rambam do? He made the word mate l'kinui dvarim asher lo yichye ha'adam ha'ed. Anything that cannot promote life. Slaves don't promote life. Clothing, some might disagree. Clothing don't promote life. Okay. Can argue in utensils don't promote life. Good. This is what the Rambam says. To this, the Ramban says, the elu divrei havoi. This is pure nonsense. The Ramban commenting on the Rambam. The elu divrei havoi.
But you just said what the Rambam said.
Here he quoted Rabbeinu Moshe. The Ramban, that whole last thing. Correct. The Ramban was quoting Rabbeinu Moshe.
And now he says, it means nothing. Va'acherim mefarshim, and others try to suggest, shemitvadeh, shelo natan mimenu al aron v'tachrichin, afilu shehulam, afilu lemeitshehu mitzvah, v'kol shekein l'chai, b'talit v'chaluk. Others suggest that what does it mean? What does the Natati Yemenu mean? I didn't use it for clothing. Not only did I not use it, I didn't even use it for the clothing, which is a mitzvah, for the day. Certainly I didn't use it for what? For my own clothing, which is not a mitzvah. Okay? Ubisifri. Now the Ramban will quote the Midrash Halacha. V'lo nasafi mimenu l'meis, la'asot lo aron v'tachrichin, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So don't blame Rashi, number one. Rashi's just quoting the Sifri. That's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer said. I didn't make, I didn't use the stuff in any of the Masarisha, Masasheni, to make it for an aron and tachrichin. Amalei Rabbi Kiva. Im l'meis asur, af l'chai asur. If you're now allowed to use it for a mace, you're also now allowed to use it for a chai. Umat Talmud lomar lo nasati mimenu, shelo hichlaftiv afilu b'davar tahor. Perush, Rabbi Akiva doresh v'lo nasati mimenu, shelo asiti mimenu chalipin afilu b'davar tahor, Haraui le'achila, says the Ramban, citing Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva chose basically to ignore the word lemeit. And how is he darshaning the pasuk? V'lo nitati mimenu. I didn't give it away. Now, what would you be giving away Master Shani for, and what might he be prohibiting him? Says the Ramban, to engage in chalipin. Master chalipin, lahachalif, an exchange. Exactly. I'm not particularly fond of apples. I got 50 pounds of apples. You have grapefruits. You know what? I'll swap. I'll give you my apples, you give me your grapefruits. Says the Ramban, that's what the declaration is. V'lo natati mimenu. I didn't give it away in exchange for everything. So how does he ignore the word for me? It's in there in the pasuk. I don't know.
Is he disagreeing
with Parshat Re'eh? Chas v'shalom. But in Parshat Re'eh, it's to adhere, in Parshat Re'eh, you're talking about somebody's in Petach Tikvah. Here he's talking about Am Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. It's there already. But I don't like apples, so I'm going to trade with you apples for grapefruits. That's my declaration. On Kesef. Oh, it's right. It's like Khalifa. It is Khalifa. Only on Kesef, though. Sure.
You have to buy these things. If you sell it for Kesef, you have to buy the same thing.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the Torah would prefer that you bring korbanot. Bakar and Son. The Torah itself says, buy Bakar and Son. Not just so that you will give part on the Mizbeah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part for yourself, part for the Kohanim. Next best thing is to buy fruits. But you don't have to have a trade for an apple for an apple. That you can do. But if you're exchanged, but you can never exchange the item itself. Never exchange the item itself, one for the other. So the Ramban says, perhaps that's what it has, that's what it means.
You can't exchange apples for bakar?
Not in Yerushalayim. Nope. That's correct, even though it's an upgrade. V'lonasati mimenu. Gunish megunish. Gunish megunish. For nothing. Nothing. No exchange whatsoever. What the Ramban accomplishes with this is that it's not, this prohibition is not exactly found in the text. What did the Ramban use as his objection to, what was the Ramban's objection to the first interpretation?
when he said below Havi Nosi, I didn't understand what Rashi said Orin Vatakarishin. Why didn't he understand? Because he said it's black and white in the text. It's black and white. What's the big chiddush? You mean to tell me I didn't? That's what he said right at the beginning. That the only thing that you're allowed to exchange when you're in Pesach Tikva is on money. So of course you can't use it for what? You can't exchange it for what? For Oron and Tachrichet. Meaning, somebody died. I didn't have any money to pay for it. I'll pay for it in Master Shani. Of course you can't do that. That's black and white in the text. But this halacha, that you can't have an exchange in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, that's not black and white in the text. So that's being communicated to us through this additional phrase. V'lo natati mimen. What happens to the word lameis? Somehow, little oblivious, but that's what Rabbi Akiva says. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Yeah. What? Yes, he goes on. It's another half hour. Correct. He tries, plus he does, 100%. He tries to explain that as well. Yes. He spends the rest of the time trying to make some sense out of it. Good, that's point number one.
Just a theological question.
Sure.
But it's easily interpreted that someone saying, I didn't do it for this, I didn't do it for this, and I didn't even do it for what's considered a big mitzvah, burying the dead. That like seems to be the clearest, simplest. Like I'm clarifying. I didn't transgress anything. I didn't do anything wrong. And on top of that, I didn't even do the biggest mitzvah. Why then goes this whole angst of trying to make it a cutesy interpretation and a play on words and a this one said this and this one said that? Why like managed in the whole idea of open discourse and but I don't get why it can't. It seems like such a simple thing.
But why?
That you can just accept it at face value. That
someone. Lonasaki Menelamais. That I didn't want. I didn't
take this. I know what it's intended for. I'm guaranteeing to you that I've now brought it to you for its intended use. I haven't given it away. I haven't done this. And I haven't even. I know it's considered a big mitzvah for the bury the dead. I didn't even use it for that big mitzvah.
Okay. I have, you know, and just say that's exactly what the Torah meant. Shalonasaki Menel, I didn't give it any. I didn't. Do anything that I wasn't supposed to do with it, even the mace. Okay? It's a good point. It's a good point.
But then the question goes, why does everybody feel they have to, like, delve
it? Because it's a little unusual phrase. But on a sacking man on the mace. It's a little unusual. And what, you know...
I guess I'm asking, why complicate it with all these far-fetched... theories as to what it could mean when they're really, when somebody said, and not that you have to accept everything, okay, I'm just looking at this one thing. It seems to be a very logical conclusion, and then all these other...
Because if you're looking for a mitzvah, it's not the only mitzvah in the world to bury a dead. And is that only my obligation that I had to provide this with Master Shani money? You know, so...
It's still left holes, and then everybody else signs.
Of course.
Okay.
It's a good suggestion.
Does it also perhaps refer to the pagan practice?
Whoa, what are you saying?
I'm saying...
Says it in Ezra. Lameis means Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Lameis means Avodah Zarah. Of course that's what you meant. Says it in Ezra, V'lo nasati lameis, yesh omrim le'avodah zarah. That what does this perhaps mean? And if you take a look, Chizkuni amplifies by saying the following. I recognize, and he writes, L'cha hevetiv unisativ ki ata Elohim chayim umelech olam. I didn't use this, so you'll say, what's the big chiddush? I didn't give this Lavai Dezara. But Ibn Ezra says that there are gods, particularly, and it would have a lot
it would make a lot of sense in light of facts that we know existed in the time of the Canaanite culture. There were many, many activities that were associated with fertility rites for the growth of produce in Israel. There's no doubt. You know, I mentioned up here a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke about in shul, about the Lo Savashel Gidi Bachalev Imo, with those Ras Shamras tablets that were found in Syria to somehow confirm the fact that this was a ritual practice of confirming the Rambam, who believes that Basa Bachalev, the Easter of Lo Savashel Gidi Bachalev Imo, has its roots in idolatrous pagan practices, because there was a pagan practice of cooking the goat in its mother's milk as a fertility rite, particularly for rice, and for other, but it was particularly for rice at that time. So for the...
Before the crop ever grew, that they didn't beg for it that time.
Good, but this is now saying a thank you.
Right.
I am telling you that I acknowledge only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as being responsible for what? For the produce? I am not attributing it at all to any idolatrous source. That's what Ibn Ezra and Chastuni possibly suggest. So it's another interpretation. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. Yeah. Then there's one other thing that I wanted to show you. At the last phrase, he writes, the last phrase of the pasuk is, Asisi kichol asher tzivisani. Okay, I did everything you told me to do. Okay? So now if you go back to the first page that I distributed to you, I just want to show you... There is a commentary that is printed in the Torah's Chaim, and that is a commentary of the Maharam, Rabbi Meir Rothenberg, the Maharam of Rothenberg, who has an unusual style to Perush and Chumash. He makes no attempt to interpret the texts, none whatsoever. His entire style is to identify a similar phrase that might appear somewhere in Tanakh, not a simple, or a nearly verbatim phrase that appears somewhere in Tanakh, and to establish the connection between the two. That's his entire approach. What?
You
just
had it in the
Pesach. No, when it says, Achis, Asisi, Kechol, Asher, Tzivisani? Where?
In his Gemara.
No, that's right here. That's the same thing. This is the same Parsha, Vidui Masrot. See, he's commenting on both there. In both places you find Kechol Mitzvatcha Asher Tzivitani. Well, he finds one other, he doesn't even find a real pasuk this time, which identifies it. If you'll take a look at it, Kechol Mitzvatcha Asher Tzivitani. So he writes Mitzvatcha Bet. The phrase Mitzvatcha in that word only appears two times in all of Tanakh. Here, Ve'idach, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Rechava mitzvatcha. Your commandments are very broad. Rechava. V'zeh ne'emar al ha-Torah. And that pasuk is referring to Torah in general. So now look at the conclusion that he draws in line 3. So read line 3 and 4, and tell me, what conclusion does Maram draw from this? From the fact that Torah and this particular parsha are the only two times in Tanakh where the word mitzvatcha appears. So he comes up with this drash, lomar lach, I will read it together. Mi shemitayim mitzvat hava'at bikurim, and everybody comments, we're not really talking about bikurim here, we're talking about vidui ma'atzrot, it means all of the tithes. Ki'ilu kiyem kol ha'torah kula. It's as if you fulfill the entire Torah. Kidi'ita, as he's quoting a source, and the source on the bottom says, I have not found the source for this at all. Dovrei da'ava, people who boast, hayu mevi'ei bikurim, sha'amru, asiti kecholch asher tzivitani. They would boast by the fact that they said, what? I've done everything that you commanded. Mashma mitoch divrehem, shekimu kol ha'torah kula. An individual goes around and says, Asiti kechol mitzvotecha. I've done everything, God, that you've told me. Everything? Every single mitzvah? Umeolam lo amar adam kiyamti kol ha'torah kula, ki'im Levi Bar Sisi. He quotes Yerushalmi in Maseches Tanis. This person by the name of Levi Bar Shepam Achad Bo'u Oivim Lifnei Iro. Enemies approached his city. V'ratzu laharog Sonim Shel Yisrael. And these enemies wanted to kill. Ma'asa Natal Sefer Torah Bizro'o. Took the Sefer Torah in his hand. V'ala lagag, and he went up to the roof. V'omar, Ribono shelola, im avarti mitzvah achat shekatavta b'sefer haTorah hazeh. If I violated any commandment that is recorded in this Torah, az yikansu ha'ovim v'yahargu kol sonei Yisrael. Then may this enemy enter and kill all the enemy. May this Gentile enter and kill all the enemies of the Jews. He doesn't mean kill the enemies of the Jews. Who does he really mean? Kill the Jews. But you don't want to say, let him kill all the Jews. So you say, let him kill the enemies of the Jews. V'im kiyamti kol ha'Torah. If I went ahead and I fulfilled the entire Torah, az yehi ratzon milfanecha shiyachzeru la'achoreihem. I plead with you, Akadosh Baruch Hu, that you will tell this enemy, turn around. Tell the terrorist to turn around and don't detonate his belt. Miyad, Hochu Misham. The terrorist turned around, didn't detonate his belt. Alma, Shimei Olam Lo Diber Adam Kazer Ki Imhu. There's only one person who said this. And yet, every person who brings bikurim, every person who engages in vidui ma'asrot, what does he say? What does he say? What's part of the text? Asiti kechol asher tzivitani. Says the Maran, what do you mean? Only one guy? This guy, Ben Sisi, he's the only guy who's there? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes to Yerushalayim, Yirat HaKodesh, with all of the ma'asrot. He gives away all the matzot, and what does he say? Asiti kechol asher tzivitani. So what's this Yerushalmi making a big deal about it? So therefore the Maran concludes, you know what? That if you bring bikurim and fulfill this mitzvah of vidui ma'asrot, it's as if you fulfill the entire Torah. Okay? It's as if you fulfill the entire Torah. As if you fulfill the entire Torah. Again, how does he arrive at this conclusion? There's only one guy in the world which the Yerushalmi claims made a statement, God, I did everything in your Torah. And they make a big deal about it. This one guy. He was, and how do I know he was the only guy? Because God listened to him. The enemies turned around and they did not kill the entire Jewish population because God listened to this one guy. Says the Maram, what do you mean he's the only guy? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry makes this statement every 3 years. Asiti kechol asher tzivitani. And yet we know very well that not everybody really observes every single mitzvah of the Torah. So how can you possibly make such a statement and say asiti kechol asher tzivitani? Must be that when you observe this mitzvah, it's as if, what? You observe the entire Torah. It's as if. Now let me explain what he has in mind. I believe, Rabotai, that what he has in mind, this is not the little Medrash speaks, right? This is the Maran Meir-Rutenberg, the greatest Ashkenazic scholar. We have more tshuvot from the Rama Rutenberg than anybody else in Jewish history. 7,000 recorded tshuvot. from the Ram or Udna. That's what happens when you spend most good party life in jail. You have nothing to do all day. Right? He was taken captive, and he had a little window, and people used to drop questions in, and he wrote the answers. And he didn't have a library or a Bar-Ilan CD-ROM to check his sources, and he just writes all of his tshuvot. But anyhow, he is the guy who's writing it. In order to give it some perspective, I would simply cite to you famous statement of Rav Sadia. Perhaps he's relying on it. Sadia claims, do you know that Rambam came up with called the 13, right? Shlosh Esrei Ikarim. There were others who said there aren't Shlosh Esrei Ikarim. There are three Ikarim. Rav Yosef Albo, in his book called Sefer Ikarim, he said there are only three Ikarim, not 13. Sadia said there's only one. One. And that is, the Ikar of everything is Hakarat HaTov. Ikar. The most important principle in all of Yahadut is Hakarat HaTov. If you cultivate that, everything else falls into place. And he says very simply, if you really believe that God had no obligation to create you, he had no obligation to create me, and he did you a favor by being created, and he blows into your nostrils an ounce of breath, good. So, if you believe that he is responsible for our very existence and our day-to-day survival, like we say in davening every single day, right? Ata v'rasa, Elohai nisho, ata nefachta bi, and so on and so forth. If you really believe that, is it difficult to then accept any mitzvah which this person, quote-unquote, God, has asked us to do? Absolutely not. If you believe in Hakaras HaTayt, that if somebody does something for you, you are obligated to say thank you. How does this person, quote-unquote, God, want us to say thank you? By observing mitzvah. So Sadia said everything boils down to one principle. To recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something for us. Either to understand that he created you, or from a national sense, just look at the first commandment. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Why? Asher Atzasicha Me'aretz Yisrael Mi'Beit Avadim. Once you understand that, everything else falls into place. What happens, what symbolizes all of these mitzvot of giving bikurin, and giving matzah rishon, and giving matzah sheni, what do they symbolize?
Thank you,
Al Ha'adab, exactly. It's one big thank you. When you say thank you, and you appreciate Hakarat HaTov, that enables you, that's the underpinning of what? Every single other mitzvah of the Torah. Perhaps Maharam is launching onto that, and therefore he establishes this equation. Not that it's as if you fulfilled it, but if you fully appreciate what these mitzvot stand for, then fulfilling the rest of Torah will not be that burdensome or as great a challenge for you. Stop here, Rabbi Kahn, continue.